Well, good afternoon. It is Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you for making us a part of your day today and every day. Thank you to John Grayson for filling in for me. And we will have 3 hours of programming here for you. 803-0930 is the number to get on if there's anything you hear that you want to get involved in. You can also text us on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 803-0930-*930. I've got a pretty controversial, if I go by what people on social media are saying, a pretty controversial topic coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So you want to stay tuned for that. But yesterday, we learned of Masuda Chow's, a popular restaurant on Main Street in downtown Buffalo. They have let it be known that they are leaving. Their last day is September 7th. And it joins a trend of businesses leaving downtown Buffalo. James Gardner is running for mayor of Buffalo on the GOP line, and he joins us this afternoon. James, thanks for taking some time for us.
Joe, always a pleasure.
You know, we talk about all the issues facing the city of Buffalo, and one of the things that I have noticed, again, it's been an issue most of my life, but you really notice it these last few years since COVID, and that is the fact that downtown Buffalo is dying, and more and more businesses are leaving. James Gardner, how do you view this, and how do we turn this around?
Well, I think anybody who has who lives in this region, who lives certainly, you drive downtown after 5 o'clock and you could shoot a cannon down Main Street and not hit a soul. There's absolutely no traffic whatsoever, nothing happening, no activity, no people. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, the public safety issue. I look at this as a two-pronged problem. You got a short-term problem of there's no traffic downtown. There are no people downtown. There's nothing to do downtown. I mean, if you look at it in the summer, what's bringing people down south of Allen Street? We don't have Shays. We don't have Thursday in the Square anymore. A couple of Buffalo Bisons games, and that's it. And we used to, when I was a younger guy, there used to be concerts downtown. There used to be things that brought residents from all over Erie County and city residents down to the urban core. That's not happening. And one of the big reasons that I believe that's not happening is that people don't feel safe. People don't feel safe downtown. When they are downtown, they see homeless people living in front of the central library. They see garbage strewn all over the place. These are issues that every city has. But what seems to only happen in Buffalo is an entire unwillingness to deal with these problems, to clean up the downtown area, to make people feel safe. And programmatically, there's nothing that is going on. There's no events. There's no concerts. There's no draw. You need a draw to people downtown. And I think another component of this is we've sort of stalled in terms of housing development in the downtown area. We have a good core of affordable housing, which is very important. And I think we have a good core of luxury housing, high-end real estate housing in the downtown area. We've got nothing in the middle. And those are the people that drive businesses. Those are the people that go to restaurants. Those are the people that visit stores, that shop. And we've got none of that going on right now. And I don't think we've got any of it on the horizon. And that fundamentally has to change if we're ever going to revive downtown Buffalo in a meaningful way.
You know, and that's the sad reality, James, as I look at it, because I agree with you. I mean, I don't just, hear it from people I talk with. I see it in the news. I hear it from business owners that they're seeing people not coming downtown and people are listing, well, the crime and the issues we're seeing. We also hear it, obviously, out here in the suburbs. Look at the Galleria. They have issues, especially following stories of, you know, fights breaking out at the mall. But James, I mean, this trend continues. The more we get away, from business, the more we get away from businesses being downtown. You clean the crime thing up. I mean, downtown could be completely lost.
That's right. I mean, this, we have a narrow window, I think, to fix this. I mean, right now we're in a situation where we're losing the battle to retain the businesses that we have. You hear these restaurateurs and the shop owners that are down there, and I don't care what line of business they're in, they're hanging by a thread. And we have a limited window to give those businesses a lifeline. And at the same time, we need to be doing something. We need to be working to recruit, infusing new businesses and new people to the area. And it really, I think, in the short term, in the shortest possible terms, you need to bring. There has been an increased visibility of the Buffalo Police Department. And I think the current mayor has done a great job of putting more police officers on the street downtown, walking around downtown. That's a huge part of it. It needs to continue, but we also need to work together. We need to engage with Buffalo Place. We need to engage with some of these other organizations that used to promote the downtown area, used to promote downtown events to build foot traffic. People want to be with other people, right? I mean, we're people are social animals, and if you go downtown on a Thursday night or tonight and you start walking around, it's dead. And you're going to say, I'm not coming back here. I want to go find where the people are, where the action is. And right now we've got none of that. We need to work together with the business owners, with the restaurant owners, with the bar owners, and start rebuilding what we used to have at a minimum, which was, there used to be something that drew people downtown in the summer when our weather is the best, you know. And then, you know, you hope right now, if you own a business in Buffalo, what are you hoping for? You're hoping that the Sabres are relevant and decent enough where people are going to come down and eat before they go into the game. And if that doesn't happen, what's on the horizon for you? It's very bleak, and it has to change.
That's the sad thing, James, is, you know, I hear people say, well, once the Sabres are good again, but, I mean, that's only for a few games. Most business owners, I mean, if you think about it, back in the run in the mid-2000s, that was additional business to what you already have. If you're counting on that for your business to survive, I think that says more about Buffalo than it does the Buffalo Sabres.
You got it. It's not just that we're stuck in neutral. It kind of feels like we're backsliding. The people who invested, who put their sweat and their dollars into building businesses in downtown, they're losing the battle. And it's not all because of them. It's not because they haven't worked hard enough. It's because the city leaders and state leaders, you know, we passed these laws that made it much more difficult to keep people safe, and it's become, and as a result of that, you've seen a lot of sort of the organic social events that used to happen in downtown Buffalo have just absolutely gone by the wayside because they're either too dangerous or people don't come because they're fearful for their safety. And until we change that paradigm, it really is a desperate situation.
You know, I think 21 years ago, the Goo Goo Dolls downtown, and everyone was pointing to that with, look at all those people that are downtown. That's going to be the future of downtown Buffalo. And James, I mean, sadly, you don't hear as many people saying that. And I think you're right. I think there's a few factors, but I think it's the crime. And I think it's, you know, scary for a lot of people that one of the individuals running in this race, I mean, was a vocal part of the Defund the Police movement just 5 years ago.
That's right. And that's ultimately, this is a conversation that goes beyond just downtown. It goes to the city as a whole. And I've these last months covering every corner of the city. And I don't care whether you're in South Buffalo, North Buffalo, the East Side, the West Side, everybody has the number one issue is the same. No matter all the other challenges that Buffalo has, and believe me, the list is long. The top issue is always public safety. We don't feel safe in our neighborhoods. We don't feel safe when we're walking around. Our kids aren't safe to play outside. What are you going to do to help us? And that, to me, is that's the number one issue on this race. And because of it, I know I am the best candidate to win this race and to lead Buffalo in a new direction, because I know public safety. I know how to fix the problem. And it, not only will it make our livability and quality of life better, but it will eventually make the downtown and the commercial districts of our city wake up again. Because once people feel confident that public safety is the key issue, is the number one priority of their government, they're going to feel more confident going outside and recreating themselves.
You know, James, on that, this was last week or the week before. It was when I was still at the fair. We had someone call in. I was talking about retail theft. And, you know, you go to some of these big box stores and everything's locked up. And someone called me from in the city and said, you know, you go to certain, you want certain things at the grocery store. You want certain things that are at a pharmacy. You're waiting 10, 15 extra minutes because someone actually has to come and unlock a case for you to get deodorant, and then needs you to unlock a case to get this and that. And it really highlights, the minute you walk into a store in the city, highlights the issues with retail theft that we are seeing throughout Buffalo.
Absolutely. you walk into, look at all the Rite Aids that have closed and the CVSs that have closed and the Walgreens that have closed. And I mean, it's, and before they did, you couldn't get anything off the shelf anymore. They had one or two display items, and then you had to go get the clerk in order to get what it was that you wanted to buy. And it just sort of, it's all these little things that reinforce to consumers, to residents, and to everyone in between, that the community that we're in isn't as safe as it used to be, right? And that is a poisonous thing for a city, for a neighborhood, and for a community, is when it's reinforced in your head at every opportunity that you're not safe, you begin to feel unsafe. And we have to change it. The best way to change it is to, again, make sure that public safety is our number one priority, that we invest in public safety, that we invest in keeping our streets clean, that we invest in making our neighborhoods livable again. Those are the things that eventually will get us through this lull period, this backsliding where people just don't feel great about it. People don't feel great about going downtown. People don't feel great about living downtown because they don't feel safe.
James, following this, I know we talked a few weeks ago, but following this campaign, if you weren't in Western New York for 5 months ago, you might not even know that Sean Ryan's running for mayor. I mean, I see you. You're out there. You're on the local news stations. You're talking with us. Even Michael Gaynor was on over the weekend. Yet Sean Ryan is nowhere to be seen. Any updates if you two are going to be in the same room together before the election?
I have no update on that. And, you know, what is it, what does Sun Tzu say? Or what's the old phrase, like when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interrupt him? I hope Sean Ryan has found Joe Biden's bunker and is staying down there. Because believe you me, I feel the energy, the excitement, and the momentum of going out and visiting with members of our community all across the city. And what it does is in spite of all of the challenges that our city has, you cannot help but feel optimistic. In spite of, you drive down some of the bleak stretches of Broadway and of Genesee, and then you turn the corner and you see, people who are outside working on their houses. You see kids playing in their backyards, and you know that they need help. They need a city hall that will work with them to make their neighborhoods more livable. Whatever your ancestry, if you live in Buffalo, you're a tough person, and you're willing to dig in and dig out. And I have every confidence that when I'm elected, the next 4 years are going to be so much better than the past 40 that we're going to fundamentally alter the trajectory of this city and this region.
Well, James, love seeing you out there fighting for every vote and earning every vote. And we always enjoy talking with you, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Anytime, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. That is GOP candidate for mayor James Gardner talking about downtown Buffalo. Crime, retail theft. Again, retail theft is still an issue. And that branches beyond the city, right? It's an issue in the city. We heard from callers last week. But I told you about the big box store in Lancaster, New York, where everything in the electronics section was locked up. Everything. Not just the expensive things. The $8.99 block I need to plug in the USB cord into the wall was locked up. That's a reality in the suburbs, and it's a reality in the city of Buffalo. It's a reality in New York State. Kathy Hochul can talk about what she wants with retail theft. It is still an issue, and it's an issue facing retail employees, business owners, and yes, the law-abiding citizen who wants to walk into a store, buy a couple things, and get out in under 5 minutes. And you know what? I'll say this as well about James Gardner. The man's out there. He is earning every vote. He is going door to door. He's shaking hands. He's in front of a camera when the camera's there. He's not just issuing statements. He's not just standing on social media videos with nowhere to be seen anywhere else. I mean, the guy is out. He is everywhere. And I'll tell you, he is fighting for every single vote. And it's good to see in the city of Buffalo. Downtown Buffalo. When's the last time you went downtown? 803-0930, star 930. And what is something that brings you downtown? Now, obviously, if you work downtown, that's the easy answer. But this is a drum that I will continue to bang. If downtown Buffalo continues to fade and the trend continues to go in the way it's going, that spells trouble for not just the city of Buffalo. That spells trouble for Western New York. What are your ideas? And I agree with James. I think crime plays into it as well. What are your thoughts for the city of Buffalo? And I think the easy question, when's the last time you were downtown? What brings you downtown Buffalo? We're not having Thursday in the Square anymore, which is a shame. Or the 4th of July concert with the Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, everyone remembers either being there, hearing about someone who was there, watching the DVD. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on. My name's Joe Beamer. I'm filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York, and Japan.
You wonder, with such a hit like this, how they did not have a follow-up. Yes, the rest of this week, we are featuring, except for the next hour, bumps from one-hit wonders. So you can suggest a one-hit wonder. Because I don't want to go too far off on this, but you get a hit. I mean, just how deflating it must be to not be able to follow that up. And then there's some that they'll say are one-hit wonder that aren't. Right? The new radicals are not one-hit wonders, by definition. But we'll get into that later. 803-0930, star 930. You'll want to stay tuned. A controversial topic in the 4 o'clock hour. But we're talking about downtown Buffalo. We had GOP mayoral candidate James Gardner on talking about another business leaving downtown Buffalo. This is a trend in the wrong direction. Yes, I know Ingram Micro is moving downtown. They left Amherst to move downtown. But I am talking about some of the most popular restaurants in downtown Buffalo closing up shop either for good, limiting hours, moving to the suburbs. Not a good trend for downtown Buffalo. My thought is, if downtown Buffalo continues on this trend, it's not only bad for Buffalo, it is bad for Western New York. Your thoughts, 803-0930, star 930. Chris is in Cheektowaga. Chris, your thoughts on downtown Buffalo.
Yeah, so I go down to the library about once a week down there, and it's disgusting. The amount of garbage that's on the ground around it, the garden there is beautiful, but it's filled with homeless people all day. And as the night goes on, more and more. just congregate there. And it's not just homeless people. These guys are so strung out on who knows what. You don't know what their next move is. If you look at them the wrong way, they start walking at you. And, I mean, I'm a grown man, and I'm scared to go down there. When we were kids, our parents would drop us off at the library because it was a safe place to be. If you can't be at the library downtown, where can you be? That's my point.
No, Chris, and I walked to a concert earlier this summer downtown, and you're right. I mean, in front of the library, you always have, it seems, you know, either a cop at the entrance of the library, and it is a place for homeless to congregate. And yeah, sometimes they'll, like, if you're walking down with some food or something, they'll say, hey, you know, they'll yell, or they'll ask for money. And again,
the library too. I've seen them sleeping in the library. Yep. And no one does anything about it. Half the library workers have on their COVID masks still. So, I mean, yep. I don't understand it.
No, I hear you, Chris.
It's like an easy fix.
Yeah, Chris and Chitawaga, appreciate the call. I will say, we did give our leftovers to the homeless. You know, I obviously don't want anyone to go hungry. But no, that is part of the issue as well. And again, I think of going downtown as I used to love going downtown, right? As a kid, when I was in college, we, you know, obviously Chippewa, we'd go downtown. And I mean, I love going to Sabre games. I love going to Bison games. I think they do a great job at the Buffalo Bisons. But there's nothing bringing me downtown on a Tuesday night. And most cities, even those smaller than Buffalo, have something to bring you down on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, right? Like I said with James Gardner, you think back to when the Sabres were really good. That was additional business for businesses. But now you're talking to some of these businesses, and they're not flat out saying it, but it sounds like they're saying, we need the Sabres to have a good season, or it might affect the business. Now, that's a problem. I, by the way, think the Sabres are going to the playoffs this year, just if you want my opinion. But that's a problem. And that is more telling about the city of Buffalo than it is the Buffalo Sabres. You shouldn't be dependent on the success of a team to mean that your business is going to fail or not. And like I said, these aren't just, now for some people say, for some, maybe you haven't heard of a restaurant or two, but you know, every place that's closed up in left downtown Buffalo is a place that most of them I've been to, right? Tutant, wildly popular. Masuda Chow's got pretty popular before COVID. I haven't been since, but you know, I assume, and I know what happens when you assume, that it was still quite popular, but obviously not popular enough. And no matter how popular it was, were people still going? And if people aren't going downtown, they're not going to these spots, no matter how popular they are, right? It may be the place, hey, I always went there when I went downtown. But if you only go downtown three times a year, your business is not keeping them in business. You get what I'm saying? And I think that has been an issue for a lot of businesses. Even the places that are open and have no signs of closing down, you talk with the people who run those businesses, even they're saying, you know, the lack of a lunch rush. I used to love going downtown. When my mom worked downtown and I had afternoons free, I would love to go to lunch downtown. There were a lot of cool little lunch spots downtown, but even those businesses are struggling because, well, 25,000 less people are going downtown a week. That's going to take a toll on businesses. And again, I mean, it's not the, oh, this place was a startup, it tried and failed. These are places that have been around for, you know, a while. Places that were around when I was regularly going downtown, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Tanner, maybe you can tell me. It was Masuda Chow's, was that the one with the stairs? when they first opened, people were taking the social media pics on the staircase? Or is that a different place? Am I confusing the two?
Oh, I have no idea. I had never even heard of the place till it closed down. Now, people don't come for my head on that one. I'm a transplant. I'm not from here originally.
Okay, that's right. I can't remember. There was a place. I think it was this place that it was like there were these pink stairs and people were taking pictures for their social media. Anyway, like I said, it was a popular place. Now, again, I'm basing that off before COVID. And since then, I haven't been, but I have not been going downtown as much since COVID. You know, I got married, had a kid. I'm lucky if I make a few Sabre games. So, but that, you know, and James Gardner was right, as he says. I mean, if people are afraid to go downtown, what you have to eliminate that obstacle, you have to make it safe for people to go downtown before you can address businesses leaving. If the problem is foot traffic, and I don't care if it's a quarter of people say, yeah, I don't go downtown because I don't feel safe. Well, to start rebuilding it, you got to rebuild people's confidence in going downtown, confidence and have people be safe. Because, you know, the mid-2000s, the 2010s, I never felt unsafe downtown. Right. And I would park when I was going to more Sabre games. And it has nothing to do with the team. Again, it's when I wasn't married and didn't have a kid to take care of. But when I was, you know, in college and the years following, when I was in my 20s, I should say, and I was going to Sabre games regularly, I would park at the M&T Bank parking lot at Feeder Station and take the train down to the arena. But if it was a nice enough day, I would just walk Main Street back to my car, right? Either the PT Loser or then the Civic. And I never I should get the train when it comes by. I can't be walking down Main Street by myself. Never felt that way. Always felt fine. Again, I'd stay on Main Street because the lights are on Main Street. But I would walk from the arena to M&T Bank parking lot and then drive home. And again, I would have no problem with that. It was only $3 to park my car there at the time. And I really feel we can get back there. Again, I don't know what Sean Ryan is running on when it comes to crime in the city of Buffalo, but I can tell by his record that he is very pro the things that, in my opinion, has led to the issues in downtown Buffalo, in the city of Buffalo, when it comes to crime. Now, one of our listeners who wants to stay anonymous did have a great name for Sean Ryan. We should start calling him Silent Sean. Because, again, he is not he's not giving interviews. And it's not just to us. He's not giving interviews on the local stations. He's just releasing press releases and social media videos. But this is something that I'm passionate about. You can probably tell because I bring it up all the time. I want a vibrant downtown Buffalo. I want downtown Buffalo to be the place people want to be. And again, I think if you go back to 2004, after that Goo Goo Dolls concert, you probably had more people who felt downtown Buffalo could regularly have this many people down there, probably felt more confident about it in 2004 than you do today. It's Joe Beamer filling in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We've got three calls. Can we get three calls in 6 minutes? We'll see. We're going to start with Ray, who is in Buffalo. Ray, thanks for hanging on.
Joe, I love your show.
Thank you so much, Ray.
I work downtown, so I get to see all the things that are going on with the traffic and so forth. I don't really think it's a partial thing. Yes, safety is one issue, but the second thing is parking. No one's going to come downtown and park downtown when you're paying $20 to $50 for parking at some of the parking lots that are around the area. especially you go where I work right down by Pearl Street, and the lots are more expensive to park than the most expensive Bison ticket. So it's not feasible to come downtown if you're going to spend that much money for parking.
Right. I mean, I understand that. Now, on the weekends, do they still have free parking on the weekends in the city of Buffalo?
On the streets, yes. That's why there was a matter of fact, your show, one of your shows on Saturday with Hunt, they had a gentleman from the Brisbane building talking about that. And that's one of the big issues. It's packed downtown during the weekends because there's free parking. But during the week, all these parking lots are either filled up or they're charging, you know, hourly rate that, you know, you go for a couple hours, it's $16. Why would I pay $16 when I can go to a suburban restaurant and pay nothing? That's why I think businesses like Chef still does a good business, because they have free parking. The restaurants that have free parking are the ones that are making, doing okay.
So how do you eliminate the parking issue, Ray? I know the city is looking to sell the lots. Do you think they should keep them and make them free? What do you think the first step from the city's point of view is?
The point of view is you've got to come up with a better way of doing things. You get someone parking out there after 5 o'clock, some areas are free, but it's not close to anything. You have a lot of people that live, like, at, for example, at Pearl Street, the apartments there, they park on the street overnight from after 5 to overnight because it's free, because then after that they're going to work. So that blocks up traffic for you to go into, you know, to go downtown and find a parking spot. The other thing is, Gardner's right. He says the safety. You have, I don't know how many times we've had cars stolen right out of the parking lot right across from Pearl Street, or cars broken into because no one's looking into, you know, watching those parking lots. Before, you used to have a parking attendant that would be in the lot. Now you pay with an app, and you're lucky. Sometimes you're lucky if a car gets in there. I know a lot of the walkathons and things like that where they've come out and then found their cars all broken into, you know, over there around Seneca. So the parking issue, it has to be come up with some other ideas. Like, you got to open up more of these side streets for parking, the one-way streets. They have to be more, you have to cut. They did it on Chippewa where they cut into the sidewalk a little bit, so you offer some type of parking. So they need to do a little bit more of that. Some of the free parking to offer, especially around where the business district are, where these restaurants are.
Ray, you know, working there during the day, can you compare it to 2019? And can you see the difference in lack of people?
Big time. And I can tell you a couple of things. You don't have, M&T doesn't do their concert series anymore. They used to have, and you have people packed over there, out there eating their lunch, watching the concerts during the summer. You used to have 2 days for the farmer's market downtown, Tuesdays and Thursdays, where they have 10 to 15 vendors. If you're lucky, you have 4 now, where they put it down by Fountain Plaza.
That's so sad.
I mean, if it wasn't for M&T, who takes over most of Seneca One, their people are in over at Gold Dome and so forth. They're in the office 3 days a week. I don't know what the traffic is like. You go on a Monday and a Friday, you could literally shoot a cannon down Main Street. You wouldn't hit anybody.
Wow. That's disappointing, Ray. Hey, I really appreciate the insight and the call. Ray in Buffalo on downtown. We will have more calls after the news with Tom Puckett, 803-0930, star 930, if you'd like to line up. And it's Joe Beamer, in for Tom Bowerly, on News Radio 930 WBEN. We will finish this topic and then get to what some on social media are claiming is a controversial topic. Hey, welcome back. Hour number 2. It is Beamer in for Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner and I were looking at a list of one-hit wonders during the break. I've got one, Tanner, that we might have to play at 5:30, but we'll discuss. We're still talking downtown Buffalo, 803-0930, star 930. James Gardner, GOP mayoral candidate, joined us to kick off the show. Another business leaving. The trend does seem to be in that direction, as some pretty popular places are packing up and either leaving or moving or limiting their hours. What are your thoughts? 803-0930-*930. We'll take these two calls. If you want to talk about it, call in now, because then after these two calls, some people are getting mad about my next question. And we'll that's what we call a tease. I'm trying to get you to hang on. But let's go to Dave in South Buffalo. Hey, Dave, I greatly appreciate you holding during the break. The floor is yours.
No problem. Okay, so in Europe, you used to have castles that were the center of government and defense. After the invasions and the wars ended, castles became irrelevant and they fell into disrepair. They became empty husks. So downtown Buffalo may have outlived its usefulness and may now be irrelevant. Maybe it isn't worth saving.
So where would you put, Dave, the economic hub of Buffalo? Where would you say that is if it's not downtown Buffalo?
Does it have to have a single hub?
I mean, if you want this revitalization of the city, I feel like we have to have some place that businesses can thrive.
Well, how about this? Maybe we can build more, put up more murals. Maybe that'll help.
Well, so you think that downtown Buffalo, it doesn't deserve the attention?
I don't know if it's savable. You know, like I call, you know, I call community gardens and murals ghetto solutions, because those are the solutions people suggest when everything else fails. They're just empty gestures. They're feel-good solutions. And that's what's going on in downtown right now.
You think everything's been, obviously the solutions that have been attempted have been failing in downtown, Dave. I agree with you there. I feel that if we want Western New York and Buffalo to make a comeback, there's got to be a hub. There's got to be a place somewhere where businesses thrive. But I also completely understand the comparison that you're making to hauled out castles. I completely understand.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing you have to think of is if you want Buffalo to thrive and succeed, you have to make it available 365 days of the year. That means, you know, in winter, right?
Right. Yes.
It can't just be a summer destination. It has to be available all year round.
Dave, let me ask you, you're down there in South Buffalo. How are you feeling about James Gardner?
How am I feeling? I'm sorry I missed that interview. I wasn't listening.
Well, are you paying attention to the mayoral race? Do you have a candidate in mind?
I have a candidate in mind that I'm not voting for.
Fair enough. I mean, but, you know, South Buffalo, that was supposed to be Chris Scanlon's strong point. I mean, what are people saying down there? Are people talking about James Gardner? I can't imagine that Sean Ryan is overly popular in South Buffalo.
I haven't talked to anybody about it. I think it's after Scanlon dropped out, everybody just went quiet.
That is what I fear, Dave. Well, hey, man, appreciate the call. Dave in South Buffalo. Let's go up to North Tonawanda. That's where you find Jim. Hey, Jim, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no problem, Joe. I'm always willing to hang on, you know, because you guys always give me all this airtime, and it's you guys that have made me famous, so God bless all of you.
Well, there you go, Jim.
You know, Joe, I really believe, and I don't want to sound like Mel Gibson in the movie Conspiracy Theory, because sometimes you can go overboard with this conspiracy stuff. But Joe, none of this that's what's going on in Buffalo or any other inner city in the country is by accident. This is all being done by design. This is being done on purpose. And you try to talk to these left-wing nuts, Joe, and they won't listen. Did you hear what the guy, Bellavia's buddy, Sink the Boats or whatever he calls himself, said to Bellavia?
Ken Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, that's it, Harbaugh, yeah. Mr. Harbaugh said, well, he said, the National Guard isn't trained for law enforcement. Joe, I'm a retired soldier, did almost 7 years on active duty. I retired out of the New York State National Guard. When I was in the National Guard, we were overrun with cops and prison guards. Every other guy I talked to was either a former ex-Marine or some soldier stationed in DMV, Erie County Sheriff's deputies, Niagara County Sheriff's deputies, state troopers. We even had one guy that was a federal marshal in my National Guard company, and he jumped into Grenada with the 82nd Airborne Division. He was a combat veteran. And they lie and they say the National Guard doesn't have any qualified people. They don't want to solve the problem, Joe. That's why they're lying to the American people. The National Guard is where you find so many cops and prison guards, because that kind of work is up our alley. Am I making sense to you?
I completely understand, and I also completely agree that the National Guard. I mean, look, they're obviously doing something in D.C. I mean, numbers are down, and people are feeling safer to go in the subway. By the way, something Kathy Hochul did, and no one complained about.
Joe, I'm telling you, the National Guard is, in fact, I've heard people make an argument that National Guard and Reserve units might actually have more actual military experience than a lot of people on active duty, because the young kids that go down to the recruiting station 18, 19 years old and they enlist, you know. But in the Reserves and National Guard is where you get some of your older, more experienced people. More, you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense to you?
You're making Jim. I get it.
But Bella Villa didn't even correct it when he said that. I was listening, and Bella Villa didn't even correct him. He didn't say that's not true, Ken. No, Ken, that's not true.
Well, I mean, Jim. I can't speak for David, but David was pushing back on Ken.
Yeah, he pushed back, but on that point, that was a huge point. Oh, the National Guard's not qualified. I'm telling you, Joe, I was surrounded by cops and prison guards. The guy I carried the extra ammo for the M60, I was like the third guy of the M60 machine gun team. He worked a 3-to-11 shift with me at Wendy. And he was a former Marine before he was a prison guard. Joe, I'm not making this stuff up.
No, hey, Jim, I'm not saying you are, and we know that the National Guard currently has a few thousand in the prisons thanks to Kathy Hochul here.
Yeah, and like I said, here's the thing: we can't sit down with these left wing nuts and have an intelligent conversation, and they won't listen to anything we say because we're racist.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, I will go back. To Ken Harbaugh, and I think it's great that David has him on every Tuesday. They, you know, you get an insight to what the people on the other side of the aisle are thinking and how they view the things that we talk about all week.
Oh, yeah. And one final point, because there's other people. I want to make one final point with you. What I'd like you guys to do is consider setting me up with a debate with this Harbaugh character. Listen to me, Joe. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I was in the studio once with Doug Young, twice with Cliff Smith, and once with the finance guys. Did you know that?
Well, I was the producer when the financial guys brought you in here, so yes, I was here.
Yeah, I've been in, I think, like four separate times I've been a guest speaker in the studio with you guys. If you guys would set me up a debate with him, I would destroy Ken Harbaugh.
Well,
at this
Jim,
I'd make him look stupid.
Jim, that is a call for David. I love David Bellavia more than almost anyone in this world. That is a conversation for you, David, and Ken, but I will make sure.
Yeah, if you can, because Bellavia can't stand me. But if you could convince him to set up a debate, I'll come into the studio. I'll do it via the telephone from here and where I live. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But these left wingers drive me nuts. They just lie and they lie and they lie. Orange man bad. 27 people last weekend got shot in Chicago. Three of them are dead, according to Bella Villa. And what do we hear? Orange man bad. It's Trump's fault.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, I will. I agree, and I will pass that on. Jim in North Tonawanda. I will say this. David and Ken Harbaugh. I mean, that was what gave me the idea for the Wednesday with a Democrat segment, because I love hearing that. I mean, I love hearing David's entire show. I think David is one of the greatest talents. I got to work with the great Sandy Beach, and it was such a seamless transition to work with David. And I think David's so gifted, and, you know, he's obviously a great guy. I mean, it's not just an act on the air. David is genuinely an amazing person and an American hero and a good friend. And I love David. I love those segments with Ken Harbaugh. And again, I think it gives you an idea of what people on the other side of the aisle think. And that was the inspiration for my Wednesday segment, my Wednesday with a Democrat. I will admit that I took that from David because of how informative it is to listen to those. I mean, I love all his guests, right? I mean, he's got obviously Carl Calabrese, D. Cosby on Friday, and he's got J-Town on Thursday. J-Town, I could listen to David and J-Town talk for four straight hours. I love listening to the two of them back and forth, and J-Town's very entertaining and very informative. And I think that's one of the best parts of David's show is David is so informative and also very entertaining. And when you can put those two things together, it makes for amazing radio, and I am just fortunate to be able to follow him 1 to 3 Monday through Friday. It is Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. And again, I just want to say, I mean, I am very so fortunate to have worked with Sandy Beach and all the great advice he gave me. And I love that man, right? Very, very fortunate to work with David Bellavia. And again, be able to fill in for David and for Tom. I mean, I was Tom's producer for years as well. Fortunate to you know, get advice from them, watch how they host Sandy, David, and Tom. You know, it's thanks to them that I have a show. And obviously, Tim Wenger, who's also helped me over the last 16 years at WBEN. We have Lisa Polizzi here now. I work with the best of the best, and I'm so absolutely fortunate for that. And like I said, it's a little bit of luck that I got to work with all these gifted broadcasters, and even more luck that I wound up having my own show. But it wouldn't have happened without any of the people I just mentioned, right? They all played a part in it, and they're all the reason I am where I am, and hopefully, unlike downtown Buffalo, my trajectory is continuing to go up. Now, this afternoon, I ran into the control room, and Tanner can confirm this. I ran into the control room when I saw this, not because of the story, but because of how ridiculous this sounded. Now, let me set it up. I'm listening to John Grayson, and I got the Fox News, you know, picture next to it in the other studio preparing the show, right? And they're talking about Chicago and New York City and Trump saying that he might send the National Guard there. And then the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois saying, we don't want you. There's no problem here. This is what Fox was talking about when they broke in with this.
We have some breaking news. Put this up on the screen. How about this one, Sandra? Sounds like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are now engaged to be married. How about that for news? The tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs and the singer, who people would say she is kind of all wrapped up. She's the Beatles. I mean, she's that popular. Her tour did $2 billion plus dollars in gross receipts. So there you have it. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, we do not have a date yet of when they will get married, but football season is underway, so it will likely be after that.
Could you imagine? Let me take you back to 2002. Could you imagine Peter Jennings breaking in to what would be on at 1 o'clock on ABC back in 02? Was that All My Children, One Life to Live? One of the two that's no longer on ABC. Could you imagine watching that? And Peter Jennings breaks on. Oh, we're coming in. We're breaking in with live local news or with breaking news. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged. I mean, I ran in here to Tanner and go, Tanner, we're not taking network. What's John doing? Joking, obviously. That's a little ridiculous, right? And again, I love that we're a Fox affiliate. I hope I'm not putting that in danger. That's a little ridiculous to break in with the engagement of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Again, you can mention it. You broke in to break. You were talking about the awful crime in Chicago and New York. A story that should not have been cut short, by the way. You broke into that Trace Gallagher to go to say that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were engaged. Again, I wish them nothing but the best. But it does make me think of a topic. And no, it's not a Taylor Swift topic. Texter, please don't do a Taylor Swift show. Texter, we're not doing a Taylor Swift show. This will probably be the last time you hear me mention Taylor Swift, except for right there, okay? But it does put the focus on marriage. and it brings me back to something I saw on social media 2 weeks ago that I am now stealing from that person and doing a topic on. And I will tell you what the topic is when we come back, because it's a reality of marriage in 2025. Again, you're getting married. I wish you nothing but the best. Reality, half of marriages end in divorce. It's a sad reality, but it's reality. I might have seen someone who came up with a solution, and I will run that by you after the break. It's Joe Beamer filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Songs.
Yeah, this is off her last album, The Tortured Poets Department. This is the song that she used on the Instagram post announcing the engagement. It's probably my second favorite off this album. So
yeah, none of her albums since 1989 have been good.
This is the first Taylor Swift album I listened to front to back.
All right. So, all right, Texter, that's the last Taylor Swift mention. That's the news. By the way, I do have to say, Sean Dolak on the 53-man roster for the LA Rams, UB alum, so congratulations to him. So the news is that Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift are getting engaged. That's not the topic we're doing, but it brings up marriage. It puts marriage in the spotlight. So a few weeks ago, I saw someone on social media put a comment about marriage. And said that marriage license should have to be renewed every 3 years. And I thought about that, really stuck with me. Not that I am saying this as I'm not using my marriage as an example yet. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it made me think, let's look at divorce rates in America, shall we? As of 2025, the U.S. divorce rate remains between 40 and 50% for first marriages, though this number has declined over the past few decades. In fact, according to the CDC, the divorce rate in 21 was 2.5 divorces per 1,000 people, significantly down from earlier years. Now, on average, a marriage that ends in divorce lasts 8 years, according to U.S. Census data. However, this varies significantly based on factors like age, education, and geographic location. The likelihood of divorce increases with subsequent marriages. Around 60 to 67% of second marriages end in divorce, compared to 40 to 50% of first marriages. There is a rise in gray divorce, which refers to divorce among individuals aged 50 and older. That number has been increasing since the 90s. Now, here's the thing I look at. And I'm not, the financial cost of divorce in the U.S. varies widely depending on complexity of the case. But according to Forbes, the average cost of a divorce last year ranged from $7,000 to $15,000. This figure can increase significantly in high conflict cases are those involving substantial assets. Well, not that I'm considering divorce, but I don't have any substantial assets, so... guys, it's a joke, okay? It's a joke. Additionally, the economic consequences of divorce can be long-lasting, with many divorced individuals reporting decreased income in financial security post-divorce. Now, here's the obvious. religion can significantly impact marriage stability. According to Pew Research, individuals who regularly attend religious services are 14% less likely to divorce compared to those who don't. In contrast, those without any religious affiliation experience higher divorce rates, with around 50% of religiously unaffiliated marriages ending in divorce. Okay? These are just the realities in 2025. So I think I go back to this person's post on social media, and I want to ask you, should marriage license have to be renewed? I say every 5 to 10 years. He said 3 years. 8030930, *930. That's the number to get on if you have a comment on this. And I think of, divorce is expensive. Now, again, I also agree, divorce, I believe it's a tough decision to make. I'm sure it's tough to go through. But statistically, half the people listening to me right now, if we're just following the statistics, half of the people listening to me right now have been divorced, are divorced at least once. That's just the reality of marriage in America in 2025. Right? And let's be honest, there are people, I hear from anyone I know who has been, who has gone through a divorce, I've heard that, wow, don't get divorced in New York State. I've heard that. I remember back on the old Opie and Anthony show, Anthony Cumia, who joined us last Wednesday. I remember hearing Anthony Cumia talk about his divorce and what that was like in the state of New York. Okay? I'm saying let's not drain people financially if, the marriage doesn't work out. Relationships are difficult. I learned this on a very popular episode of Seinfeld. Relationships are difficult, hard to stay together, right? But once you get married, the state just assumes, and again, I am not talking about the religious aspect of marriage, right? Because someone said, well, we'd have to change vows. Again, religious aspects of marriage, completely different than the legality of marriage and the state obviously having to get their hands into marriage. But relationships don't work sometimes. I have been through a lot of breakups, right? Sometimes relationships don't work. Does that mean that you have to lose $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 in a divorce process with an attorney and all this other stuff? Or would it not make more sense? Your marriage license is up. You know what? Let's not renew it. Let's go our own way. Obviously, if kids are involved, that's a completely different thing. We're talking about a hypothetical here, folks. But if you have kids, obviously, that's something that will have to be worked out, and the courts probably do have to get involved. But I'm talking about the marriage itself. Would it not make more sense, the realities of 2025? Again, I am not talking about the consequences at church or the consequences of the religious, the actual marriage. I am talking about the legal, dirty government aspect of marriage. Does it make sense that because your marriage didn't work out, you're out a whole lot of money? And what about the person who is miserable? We only get this one life, right? Now, I do agree that you should try everything to make a marriage work. We've all been through tough times, either in our marriage or throughout life, right? No, I don't think anyone's going to call in today and say, marriage is the best thing. We've never had a bad day. No, some of the happiest marriages went through some of the darkest times and some of the most difficult times, right? So this is not advice on marriage. I am saying the reality is it doesn't work out sometimes. And then you do have some people who are absolutely miserable. They hate being together. They don't talk to each other. It's a very unhealthy environment to be in. But they can't afford divorce. Now, I know life's not fair, but are we really saying that that person should sit there and suffer for the rest of their life because they can't afford a divorce? I'm just saying let's be real about it. And again, this is not the religious aspect. I do believe that marriage should be religious, right? I don't get me wrong, but we're not talking about the religious aspect. I am talking about the dirty government aspect of marriage. So we can separate the two for this topic. Should it really come down to how much money do you have if you can get divorced or not? Or should we make it to the point where, are you happy? Cool. Here, renew your license. And for this topic, let's pretend that the state doesn't charge you for everything you do. So it's a free renewal. But if you don't want to be married anymore, you don't renew it. And instead of losing, on average, $7,000 to $15,000, you can just go your own way. And you don't have to worry about the financial hinder of a divorce. Now, again, if kids are involved, this is a whole different story. I am just talking about the relationship as it stands, because 2025 is not 1955. Let's just be honest. And good people make mistakes. Good people get into crummy relationships. There's a lot of people out there who are good at being fake. And then after you get married, 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road, you find the real person and they're no day at the beach. And I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about they are not the person you thought you married. Kind of like the show on ID Discovery. Who the bleep did I marry? People ask themselves that question all the time. This is not the person they pretended to be when we were dating, when we were engaged. They turned into a completely different person. Now, if your spouse becomes somebody else, I am not talking, by the way, about, you know, the person who, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm just talking about, hey, two people who aren't happy anymore. Now, if you weren't married, if you didn't go through the marriage process, you could just go your own way. You could just split. Why not make it that, and I don't want to say easy, because I agree with a text on the board. Divorce shouldn't be easy. But it also shouldn't be impossible for people who are just plain miserable. Again, life is too short to be miserable on a regular basis. And there is a difference between being miserable all the time and, yes, the ups and downs of any relationship. We've all experienced that. Yeah, you have a rough month. You might have a rough year. You ever have a kid? it might be tough. I am talking about the person or the couple that has tried everything. But you know what? They're living paycheck to paycheck. They can't afford a divorce. So they're just going to continue to be miserable for the rest of their lives because they can't afford the $7,000 to $15,000. Or should there be an out? Hey, renewal day is coming up. 803-0930, star 930. I'd love to know your takes on it. I know there's people who are mad at me. I saw it on social media. Tell me why you're mad at me. Tell me why I'm a... Well, you can't use the words that some have used on social media, but tell me why. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. It is a weird week, right? It's that final week before, you know, kids are back in school. Some colleges are starting up this week. But for everyone else, I mean, it does have that last week of summer, even though technically fall doesn't start till September 21st. But for a lot of people, this has that last week of summer feel. If you're a kid in school or if you're a teacher. But I think for a lot of us, that kind of just lingers, right? That feeling from when we were in school and I went to a college that didn't start until the Tuesday after Labor Day. This has always kind of felt like that last week. A lot of people out on vacation this week and, you know, getting those final days of summer break in. I mean, we're getting a taste of fall on this final week of August. But it is kind of, this week kind of has a weird feel, right? So if you're out on vacation and still listening to us, maybe you're on the Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate that. And would love to hear your take. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. We're talking divorce, not the, yeah, I know, not the topic that, not the happy topic here, but it is a reality. And like I said, 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. That is a sad reality. And sometimes you have to live in reality. The other sad reality is there are people who they're not going to give up $15,000 to get divorced. So they stay there in a miserable relationship. They hate going home. They don't talk to each other. They're very distant. We all know people who have been through this. I think we all have known people who get divorced and they stay great friends, right? We hear Tom talk about it all the time. And that's, you know, to be honest, that's the way it should be. Hey, it didn't work out. What's the, you know, way we could do this without hurting each other as much as possible? Can we do this, you know, fairly? But again, just happily go our own way. And I'm saying, well, I'm not saying, this person on social media who posted this 2 weeks ago was saying, why don't we allow kind of an opt-out? Now, he said every 3 years. I say every 5 to 10 years. Allow an opt-out where it won't cost an arm and a leg to get divorced. Where if you're in a bad situation, you can get out. Because again, this whole thing could be done tomorrow. Do you really want to be miserable for the rest of your life? Now, obviously, as I said before traffic, there's ups and downs in any relationship. And I think, again, I haven't experienced it. I've experienced a relationship that's gone bad and you break up. There's a difference between the ups and downs of a regular relationship and feeling like you've tried everything and this is not moving. The trajectory is like downtown Buffalo and you don't know how you're going to turn it around. There is a difference. Again, I'm not advocating for divorce. I hope no one thinks that's what I am just saying the reality. Hypothetically, what if the state offered an opt-out when it comes to legal marriage? 803-0930, star 930. Joe Beamer, in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, welcome up. Welcome back. Welcome up. Welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, someone says an amicable divorce could cost less than $2,000 if everybody signs off on everything they want and walks away. Great point. I should just point out that studies or surveys show only 3 in 10 divorces were amicable in the year of 2024. So I agree. It should be that way. But that's only 30% of marriages. Another person says the big issue you're overlooking, Joe, is divvying up marital property. That's where the lawyers and money come in. Unless you have nothing, there's a lot of money involved with a divorce. True as well. But again, if you could, you know, again, do you want to be miserable and hate each other? Or do you want to split and go on with your life. I know that sounds really cold, but you get what I'm saying. Let's go to Professor Mike in Depew. Got to meet Mike over at the Erie County Fair. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? I was hoping we could have a little bit of a discussion here. Truthfully, I wish I would rather speak about history, political studies, foreign policy, but unfortunately, I have a little background in this particular topic, and I have some interesting considerations, some food for thought. And I think what you're doing is really interesting because it is a bit of a conundrum that we find ourselves in societally. And I've always been an advocate for almost 35, 40 years of as an educator. We should be requiring students to take relationship classes as well as economic classes relative to paying bills and what it costs to live, right? So allow me to share this if I could, just so you kind of get a background of where I'm coming from. So on my family, and in particular on my father's side of the family, so my parents were divorced, my grandparents were divorced, all my aunts and uncles were divorced. Almost all of them were married another 2 to 3 times, trying to find that elusive relationship they were looking for. So when marriage is good, it's really good, and when it's bad, it is particularly bad. So a couple of things here that I would like to throw in. I watched this as a child, and I watched my family go through it. First and foremost, people who go through divorce, it is a financially devastating aspect. And even going forward, if you could do it amicably, which, by the way, my experience has been rarely has it ever been amicable. But irrespective of that, when you go your separate ways, you're trying to run two separate households right now. So what that means is for the couple that's going through separation and ultimately divorce, it is exceedingly expensive to try to maintain two separate households on the double incomes that you were previously trying to run your relationship on. Now, a couple other things. So if you have assets, now it becomes a veritable nightmare. Even if you don't have children, people will fight over the dog, the car, how much equity, who put what into the house. And New York State is one of those community property states, so they try to rectify things in that fashion. But it doesn't always work. But I thought some people should think about this. If you are considering marriage, and if you are even remotely considering children, when a breakup does occur, you are potentially looking at not only assets scenarios, you're looking at the potential for alimony. I know men, as of late, are securing alimony. One person's income far supersedes someone else's income. Now they want a portion of that income. You also get things, for example, if you have to go to child custody hearings. That was a favorite of mine as a kid. You get to go for hearings. You have to choose which parent. Awful things come out. And then, even if you can secure child support, the course of action is typically the person ordered to pay support will not pay support, or they change jobs. Now, if you have the financial wherewithal to try to pursue those persons by attaching a garnishment on their wages, that person can lose their job, or they can fake an injury. A back injury is always great. That now circumvents the order that has been given relative to the garnishment, and you have to go to court and try to resubmit and follow through again. The other thing that people typically do not think about is the holiday scenario. So if you are dealing with a breakup, and in particular with kids, now you have to go through which child is staying with which parent on which holiday. You can have them on Easter. I want them on Christmas. This fight goes on within the family to levels that you would not fathom, and how disruptive this becomes. And then you get the scenario, if I don't get child support, you're not going to see your father. or you're not going to see your mother in a reverse scenario. So we have a multitude of issues which just cloud the problem. And another one, and very few people tend to think of this, when there's contestation over what belongs to whom, I've seen this multiple times. So you're saying the riding mower is not mine? Well, if I can't have it, nobody will. So they'll crash it through a garage door. The car is not mine? Oh, so it's not mine. Someone picks up a cinder block, throws it into the car. I've seen arrests. I've seen garnishment hearings, child support hearings, custody hearings. It never ends. And then when you get older and you think that possibly I've outgrown this and we can circumvent this, then you have these problems. Let's see. I'm graduating from high school. We're not going to have a party if she's going to attend. Who is going to the graduation? We only have two tickets. Well, if she's going, I'm not going. So this goes on to the next generation and can even later on involve grandkids. So all of these considerations need to be given the weight and merit they deserve. And I think your topic, I think the idea and the concept that maybe we need to look at this in a new perspective, I do like that. But there are a plethora of issues associated with this, and I'm not sure that in 20 years' time, these problems can be worked through.
Mike, very informative, and I think by the looks of the text board, a lot of stuff that people can relate to. You know, that holiday scenario reminds me of the movie Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon.
I have seen arrests. I have seen people go after family members with firearms. And then should you decide to date another significant other, the animus does not end there. This is a cyclical event. It can traumatize people from a lifelong perspective. And I'll share this because I know that my wife is listening. My wife and I have been married almost 40 years, which means she's probably a saint. We lived together for about 3 years before we were married. And I would say that, you know, marriage at times can be a very remarkable and rewarding and fulfilling thing. But before I married my wife, I was engaged 3 times. It was incredibly difficult for me to make the commitment. All that traumatization clouded the actual commitment and marriage date. But on the other end of the spectrum, it was a learning tool for me, and I try to apply that to my own marital situation.
You know, Mike, I got to ask. So you were engaged 3 times before getting married?
That is correct.
So did you see, like, when you're going through this and you said, oh, we got to call it off, you saw the future? I mean, you saw what was probably going to happen if you didn't pull the trigger before the marriage?
So to be completely honest and a bit of a revelation here, and as I said, I know my wife is currently listening.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. I'm sorry, Mike.
That's okay. So in the interest of assisting other people down the road, because of what I was exposed to, making the actual commitment date was difficult. So I might get engaged, and for the next 2.5, 3 years, we're in an engagement mode. And then the particular, your potential mate would say, well, when are we getting married? Well, I'm working on another college degree. Okay, another couple more years. Okay, are we getting married? Well, you know, I'm going for now a graduate degree. And I was always able to put that off in some capacity. And then finally my wife said to me, she said, I want a date or a commitment. I want to know that this is going somewhere. So I was, you know, basically compelled to make that decision. But I got to tell you, and this is absolutely true, on the day of my wedding, and I was in the fire service for years, so fire pumpers came to the church. I was driven around the church and the block multiple times before I could summon the courage to go in. And we were actually a little bit late starting the wedding. it did take a little bit of courage ultimately to make that commitment. So these things ought not to be taken lightly. There are ramifications that heretofore people can't even fathom. So give it the weight it deserves when you're making that commitment.
All right. Hey, Mike, appreciate the insight. As always, Mike and DePew, Professor Mike. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's something you have to consider, right? When you, and again, I mean, it's something you have to think about when you're dating. I mean, is this someone, I'm guessing if you were in a relationship where it was up and down before you even proposed, maybe this isn't the person, right? But again, I do think there's a difference between this is the regular up and downs of a relationship and I just don't see this getting good again. Now, someone on the text board says Wisconsin is a fair state where divorce is purely 50-50 by state law, which is a legal rarity among states. So, I mean, there's another idea, but this is the idea I saw on social media. I thought it was good enough to bring to the radio where the person said, how about you renew your, they said every 3 years. I say, you know, marriage license. Let's make it a thing that you had. You can renew your marriage. You can opt out every 5 to 10 years. The legal aspects of it. Religious, that has to be taken within the church. But the legal aspects of marriage, every 5 years, you have an opt-out period. And you can, again, you can't avoid, as Mike pointed out, you can't avoid all the messy, right? I mean, there are things to divvy up. If kids are involved, that's a whole other thing. But just, you know, really just a hypothetical to bring up to talk about the divorce rate of first marriages that right now is between 40% and 50%. Your thoughts, 803-0930, star 930. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you haven't heard what everyone is talking about, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting married. And if you missed it, I'm sorry. Like, to me, this is just ridiculous that it was breaking news. The fact that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are married. But here's how it sounded on Fox. Again, they're coming out of a segment talking about crime in Chicago and New York City. Here's how it sounded.
We have some breaking news. Put this up on the screen. How about this one, Sandra? Sounds like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are now engaged to be married. How about that for news? The tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs and the singer who people would say she is kind of all wrapped up. She's the Beatles. I mean, she's that popular. Her tour did $2 billion plus dollars in gross receipts. So there you have it. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, we do not have a date yet of when they will get married, but football season is underway, so it will likely be after that. But that's some pretty big news in the sports and entertainment world, Sandra.
All right, so this was announced on Instagram.
So, you know, nothing against Trace Gallagher, Sandra Smith. I love the work they do, but, I mean, come on. I mean, that's a mention. It's not we got to get the breaking news graphic, which, you know, I have to say, as much as I do watch Fox News, I think they call too many things breaking news. I think that is a problem into everything is breaking news, right? I can flip through the TV right now, and I guarantee you one of the news stations is calling something breaking news, right? I mean, every time you turn on a cable news station, something is breaking news. I think they're wearing it out a bit, if you ask me. But that was the news, and that's what made me think, okay, let's talk about divorce, because in America, in this very country, first marriages, the divorce rate is between 40 and 50%. And again, should people spend more time dating? I don't know what the answer is, but hey, maybe the legal marriage, there should be some kind of opt-out. And again, that would also, to the texter's point, to Mike's point, that would mean we need more amicable divorces, which only 30% of divorces are amicable. So maybe that's part of the problem as well. But I just think of the person who is absolutely miserable, has tried everything, the relationship's not working, but they can't afford a divorce. They can't afford to bring it up because, again, they can't afford to even have it happen. And you don't want to make things more miserable. So you're stuck in that situation. That's what I think when I see this. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on this when we come back. We also got to tell you about an incident at the Longhorn in Cheektowaga that I want to bring to you before the show is over. Oh, yeah. This is a guy. Or a group. I think Tommy Two Tone was the group. The guy's name. Do I have that right? I don't think his name was Tommy Two Tone. I think it was the name of a group. But we're going to find out. Hold on 1 second. Tommy Two Tone. Yeah, it's a band. Okay. I mean, come on. That was probably, would you say that's top five? One-hit wonders. We're doing one-hit wonder bumps all week. So give us some suggestions. 803-0930, star 930. We're talking marriage. 40 to 50% of first-time marriages end in D-I-V-O-R-C-E. I saw a suggestion on social media. How about an opt-out after 3 years? I say 5 to 10 years when we're talking about the legal aspects of marriage. What say you? 803-0930, star 930. John in Elma. John, your thoughts.
Hi, you talking to me?
Sure am, John.
Yeah, I think that the big problem here is I really do not believe that man is meant to be monogamous. I really don't. I don't think it's something he wants. I don't think it's something he wants to do. And, you know, obviously financial problems are the biggest cause of divorce, but men straying or cheating or call it whatever you want to call it is probably number two. Yeah, I don't think man is meant to be monogamous. And this goes back to basically Darwin's theory of evolution. If you want to eliminate the possibility of a species becoming extinct, you really want to have all your females pregnant all the time or most of the time so that numerous offspring are created. And therefore, you really want the male of a species, and I don't care what species that is, whether it's horse, cow, dog, man, you really want the male that wants to have sex with as many females as he can. Therefore, those females will end up becoming pregnant and will produce a boatload of offspring, and therefore the species does not become extinct.
But I think we like to think of ourselves as a little more advanced than the horses and the cows.
Well, people say that, but no, not really. Males are genetically programmed to want to have sex with numerous females. It's a question of genetics.
So, John, have you ever been married?
Nope.
And you feel like that's the best way to go? You've never been interested in marriage? Is this how you've always felt, or is this just years of observation?
Well, yeah, that's the way I've pretty much always felt. I just I've never been attracted to married life compared to single life.
So I hope I don't get in trouble for this question, but do you find is the older you get in single life, I mean, are you able to find partners that are okay with the way you see things?
I found numerous partners in life, and most of them ended up leaving me because they realized that I wasn't going to marry them and their biological clock was ticking and they wanted to get married and have children. And they realized that I was not the person that was going to do that. And therefore they moved on. But that's got really nothing to do with the whole concept that I really.
Well, John, you've never been married, but do you have any children?
No.
So I think that's how most men feel. Who feel the way you feel, they feel, okay, this is how it will be, but I don't want any children. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's really not the point, because married men want to stray. And that's just, you know...
You think more married men feel like straying than statistics would show actually stray?
Absolutely.
I mean, I mean, so
all the marriages that don't end up in divorce. Okay, how many of those has the man strayed and not gotten caught?
Well, John, if I knew the answers, I'd be giving those statistics out. I don't know.
Well, if marriage was a stock, I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, you know, I might agree with the last comment you said there, John. Hey, very interesting input, man. I appreciate it, John in Elma. I think we like to think that we've advanced past the other mammals, but I don't want to discount everything John said. I'll tell you this. I mean, John did bring up a point of men wanting to stray, and I mean, to be fair, women stray too, right? I'm not trying to say, I'm not under the impression that everyone cheats, but you know, the media would have you believe that only men cheat, right? And to bring up Taylor Swift, her songs would make it sound like only men cheat. Women cheat too. That's just a reality. It's 2025. Let's be fair. John says men stray. I don't think it means that women don't. I think that if we look at the statistics, women cheat too. And again, how many people admit to cheating, right? You can only, to John's point, and I will agree with John on that, you can only believe the statistics so much. Because not everyone who's cheated runs to Pew Research and goes, well, I've cheated on my significant other. I mean, that's not happening, right? So again, you can only believe it as much. But I will disagree. I don't, you know, as a man who is married, let me tell you, even if I wanted to, and I don't, do not take this, don't put this in a promo. I'm not saying I want to stray. I do not. I love my wife. I don't want to stray. Okay? I'm just saying, even if there was the urge to stray, I am way too busy. Right? I mean, my gosh. After a full day, I just want to go and watch the Mets. You know what I mean? And let's be honest, I argue enough with my wife. That's enough. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Jim and Marilla. Jim, what do you got for us?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim.
I have had this idea for probably 40 years.
Love it.
And I've told it to a few of my friends, and they just kind of think it's a good idea. So I'm going to share it with you.
Go right ahead, my friend.
I don't know what a marriage license costs anymore. It used to be $25. I have no idea what it is now. But I think that if two people want to get married, they should have to put $25,000 each into a joint account that accrues interest, and it's there for 10 years. And at that point, they should be able to decide whether they want to get divorced or not, and they get their money back to pay for the attorney. And in the meantime, it's making money. And if they decide they want to stay married, they can take that money out and go on a vacation. And forget this $20,000, $30,000 wedding thing that they do nowadays. It's just ridiculous.
That's, Jim, I am so glad you said, I can't believe, that's right in front of me. I can't believe I didn't say that. Half, you know, close to half of marriages end in divorce, yet we're spending at the low mark, we're spending 20 grand on weddings.
That's right.
That is a great point, Jim.
If you just put that money away ahead of time, after 3 years or 4 years, you're going to find out if you want to stay married or not. And if you want to get divorced then, boom, you get your money back. You pay for your attorneys. Doesn't cost you any money. I went through a couple of divorces, and they are not cheap. Not cheap at all.
So, Jim, let me ask you. So after you got divorced the first time, and went through that. What made you want to get married again?
That's a crazy question. You know, after the first marriage, I swore off of women. Okay, I got married young. I was married at 21 years old. But after I got married a few years later, about 3 years later, after I got divorced, I mean, I swore off women. And I didn't get divorced again, or married again, excuse me, till I was 39. So I waited a long time to get married again. And then 3 years later, I was divorced again, and that one cost me a chunk of money, a lot of money. And I swore off of women again. And finally, when I was, geez, how old was I? I don't know, let's say 52, 54, something like that. I got married again, but I lost my wife. She had a brain seizure, and she died 8 years ago.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. It's just part of the story. I'm not looking for sympathy. It just, I don't think I would ever do it again. I have a bad track record.
Yeah, you know, I don't yet. I mean, I hope my marriage never ends. But I'm telling you this, as a married man at 36, almost 37, if things with my wife don't work out, I could never see myself getting married again.
Well, you will say that, but sooner or later, some woman will come along and she will fantasize you to the point where you slip the ring on her finger. And maybe not, but
well,
as men, we want a woman in our life.
Yes.
And the problem with women is that they want a husband in their life. They don't want to just live with a man and go through the motions. They want that ring on their finger. And to be honest with you, I think it's a financial security thing. That's my opinion.
That's from Jim, who's been divorced twice.
That's correct.
All right, Jim. Appreciate the call, man. Jim and Marilla. I just saw something. I want to see if it's true or if people are just making stuff up on social media. Let's go to Janet in Amherst. This is my mom. Mom, what insight would you like to put on this topic?
I just could not resist. First of all, the first caller saying that, you know, it's natural for men to want to have sex with a lot of women because we need to procreate and further the species, but it doesn't work because he doesn't have any children. So
that was what I was trying to illustrate with that.
Scary. I have a different look, and people will disagree with me, but I think that it is, you know, I think it's crap that men think that women don't find other men attractive. Of course they do. Of course they do. But I think women, and not all women, because as you say, women stray too, but I think women are more disciplined than men, in general. You can't, not everybody, there's always exceptions. But I think women are more, they have more self-control. And I think that comes from the people to blame for that is women. Because I think women baby their sons. They make their daughters, they tend to, you know, the daughters be like them. Hey, suck it up. Life's not easy. My mom used to say it's a man's world. You know, I think we're getting away from that. But I still think that mothers tend to baby their sons. And we as a society, it's still to the extent it is changing. It is changing, but slow. It's a man's world. And men are raised to think if they want it, they can have it. Women are much more disciplined. They have much more self-control. They think of their children. They think of their family.
To be fair, Ariana Grande says, I want it, I got it. And she's a woman.
Yes, but she's not married, is she? So
I don't think so. Tanner, is Ariana Grande married? No.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking Tanner if Ariana Grande was married. Continue.
I mean, it comes back to your sister was sent home from Amherst Middle School because her skirt was too short, they said. And it wasn't because the skirt was too short. The principal told me it was because a little boy commented on her short skirt. So there we go again. It's not wrong that the boy commented on the short skirt. It's the girl's fault for wearing the short skirt because men can't help themselves. It's a man's world.
But, you know, on the sons being babied by their mothers, I would say that I remember getting in more trouble for my in-school suspension than my sister got for her out-of-school suspension.
That's a different thing. But I think that I do think that is a whole different topic. I think teachers favor perpetuate this. I think it's changing, but it is slow to change. And older men that, you know, they were raised in a different generation. I do think that younger generations, this is going to be changing. And that's why you see women straying too. But I do think it comes back to the old, you know, adage, like my mother used to tell me, it's a man's world. You know,
yeah, but I mean, I think some would probably say that that I was babied by my parents, and I know what's right from wrong. I'm not gonna drive over to some stray from my wife because I might have been under some people's standards spoiled as a child.
No, and I'm glad to hear you say that. But I do think that's kind of where it comes from. I don't think it's a primal instinct, like, you know, like I'm a man, I can't help it. That's
John and Elma.
Born. I have to have sex with a lot of
but
women.
That was my point. John was making this point, and he's single, and according to him, has a lot of partners, but has no kids. So the point that he's trying to make, he has proven is not true.
Siri doesn't wash, but I just, you know, and I've heard that theory before. I have heard that it's not new. I've heard that theory, but I do think it's, I still think, and I think that I don't want to be, you know, because they're my age too, but I think older people still have that, but I do think that we're working out of that, and I think that's a good thing, you know.
All right, Mom, final question. If you were still working at an office in Buffalo and had the option to work downtown, would you still go downtown?
Well, I love working from home, but rather than work in an office building in the suburb or work downtown, yeah, I always loved downtown. It did change, I thought, after the pandemic. I was never afraid downtown. I rode the train for years. I used to laugh when people told me that they never went downtown because they were afraid, because I just never saw that. But after the pandemic, you know, I stopped riding the train, and things did change. There was a lot of fights when I would be walking to my car, and you know, it was different, and there just weren't as many people. And I guess, you know, there's safety in numbers, and a lot of people were still working from home, so it wasn't the crowd of people that you would normally see, you know, out at lunchtime and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they can't change that, but they can change the crime. I mean, they can,
like,
you know,
James Gardner said,
clean up the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
well, Mom, we're up against the clock, but I appreciate the call as always.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Janet and Amherst, and that is my show for the day. Joe Beamer filling in for Tom Bowerly. I'll be back tomorrow at 3:00. John Grayson fills in for me. David will be here after Susan and Brian on WBEN.